Can we sing that song in such a way that will allow the gravity of its wordings to put pressure on our soul in the presence of God? Purify me,
so that I may my body in your sanctuary.
One more time.
And my body is your sanctuary.
My body. Of our petition tonight, O God. Have mercy on us. Help us. In the name of Jesus. It is obvious that you want to do something significant with each and every one of us, and that's why you gathered us at this time. But do not pass me by. Come into my space. Kill everything that needs to die, so that you can make maximal use of my life. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Even though I want to begin teaching now, there are a few people in the congregation that need to repent. And as we were worshiping, you opened yourself up. And the Holy Spirit began to query some things in your life. So we are going to go into a moment of prayer to afford such individuals the opportunity to finish their transaction with God so that we can all take off on the same flight. There is a song that my brother sang when I came here. First song. So while you sing that song, we'll be making ourselves right before God. Do you still remember the song you sang? So as he's singing that song, if you know that the Lord is highlighting things on your heart, deal with this one. It will be a moment afforded you to engage. It will be brief, so make sure you are pouring out, repenting in the areas that he has highlighted, so that we can be on the same flight. If you came all this way to be in the conference. We don't want you to be left behind. So as he sings, we will commune and allow the Lord to have his way in us, to take away those things that Satan has used as platforms of accusation against our soul, and to equip us with what it takes to gain ascendancy into his presence tonight. So, we'll give him a moment while it is as it was for Adam in the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the day when God came to visit him. Even though we are many, it's an opportunity for you to engage God as an individual and to open your heart to him.
Your glory is changing me from who I am to who you are. Your glory transforming me from who I am to who you are. Jesus, your glory is changing me from who I am to who you are. Oh, your glory transforming me from who I am to who you are. Oh, your glory is changing me from who I am to who you are. I see your glory transforming me from who I am to who you are. Jesus, your glory is changing me from who I am to who you are. Jesus, your glory transforming me from who I am to who you are. Oh, your glory is changing me from who I am. I am changing. I am changing. I am changing to who you are. I am changing. I am changing.
Can we sing along now?
I am changing to who you are. I am changing. I am changing. I am changing.
Process, because we realize that you will not use a stone that you have not tried. Transform us. Cause your face to shine upon us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to the house of God. All right. Turn your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Can we celebrate the music minister? Such a mighty blessing. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15. Ephesians 1:15. I will not be talking for too long. We'll just do a brief theory session and then we'll move to the practical session. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. It said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all saints. Now, those two indicators reveal that their conversion was genuine. First of all, they had a noticeable faith. A noticeable faith in Jesus. They had a noticeable love unto all the brethren. You could see that their convictions in the instructions of Jesus had affected their lifestyle. So it was visible that these ones trust in Jesus. The proof of love is obedience. The proof of faith is dependence. So your faith can be noticed. Your love for God can be noticed. And so these guys had a genuine conversion, and the evidence of their conversion was revealed in the faith that they had in Jesus. Because of the faith they had in Jesus, the proof of that faith was their dependence on Jesus. It was also evident that they loved the saints because they could go out of their ways to be a blessing to the brethren. When Paul saw this, the next verse was his reaction. The Bible says that he ceased not to give thanks for them, making mention of them in his prayers. The moment Paul saw that their conversion was genuine, he took upon himself the burden to begin to intercede for them. So it means that there were centers, there were places that Paul went, that he did not come back with a prayer body. He just attended the meeting. He saw that they were fake. He saw that they were false. He saw that their heart was not determined to navigate its course under the leadership and the government of God. He participated in their fellowship, but he never left. He left the place without any commitment to the people. But for the Ephesian believers, he left with a commitment. And the commitment was to never to cease to pray for them. In fact, he even had prayer points ready-made. There are two times in the Bible where the content of Apostle Paul's prayer was articulated in scriptures. Two times. And this presentation happens to be one of such times. I'd like us to take a look at the content of the man's prayer. The other time I was doing a teaching on the content of your Christian life. And one of the indicators of the content of your Christian life is the wordings that you use in your time of prayer. If we can document the wordings you use to prosecute your private prayer moments, we have a good evaluation of your Christian life. Now, if you want to know how deep Jesus was in the Spirit, you will need to go to the book of John chapter 17. And then you take a look at the kind of prayer that he prayed. That was what he committed his heart to prosecute. You might even read his prayer points and not understand what he's saying. That's a sign of his debt with God. And in this scripture, we have an opportunity to see the graphic picture of the content of the prayer of this great apostle. Meanwhile, this prayer was as a result of the fact that he saw that the brethren in the Ephesian church were true believers in the Lord Jesus. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, you will notice that in this presentation, Apostle Paul calls our Father who is in heaven, he calls him the Father of glory. Now, it means that the things he is trusting God to do for the believers are items that are intrinsically connected to God's dimensions of glory. So he gives God a name that is consistent with the kind of request that he wanted to make. That what? Father of glory. What is he beckoning on the Father of glory to do? He's asking him to give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That means in the business of the knowledge of God, there are two streams of grace that are needed to actualize spiritual knowledge. The first stream of grace is called the spirit of wisdom. The second stream of grace is called the stream of revelation. So when the stream of wisdom and the stream of revelation intersect, what it produces is the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Not just the knowledge from God, but the knowledge of God. I don't know how many people in this place, maybe you had a dream once upon a time, and you woke up from your dream, you remembered the dream, but you could not interpret the meaning of the dream. Now, I know you guys are spiritual guys. Anytime you have dreams, the meanings are downloaded instantly. So you don't have the kind of problems that we have. We struggle with some of the things that comes through the vista. But you just have an inbuilt application installed in your spirit, so that every metaphor that is revealed in the pictures that you see, you have his corresponding interpretation. Thank God for your life. If this kind of you, Apostle Paul will not need to pray for you because you are already fully loaded. Hallelujah. So if by any means you had a dream before, and when you woke up from your dream, you could not interpret the things that you saw in your dream, it's an indication of the fact that the mode of communication that was used to connect you is higher than what your thought life can support. So you will need the spirit of wisdom. You see, what happened to you that you even got access to the dream was that you encountered the spirit of revelation. It was the spirit of revelation that was responsible for what you saw. But you see, the things that you get by revelation, if you don't have wisdom, you can't benefit from revelation. I've seen people before, someone prophesied. Are you there? He prophesied himself. Prophesied about a snare that Satan had set. And after prophesying, 3 months later, he was the first person that was the victim of that snare. Because there was no wisdom. All he had was revelation. There was no wisdom involved in the equation. So it's the spirit of wisdom that will decipher the jigsaw puzzle of the dream that you received in order for you to enter into the faculty of the knowledge of him. Are you there? And meanwhile, it is the Father of Glory that does this kind of stuff. So if the Father of Glory wants to enhance you, what he does is that he brings you to a point where he orchestrates a disclosure to you. And when he unveils, when he orchestrates this disclosure, then he releases the spirit of wisdom to step that communication down to the level that you can assimilate. And the end product of this kind of blessing is that you are armed with the knowledge of God. And this was the prayer that Apostle Paul said he was going to pray for the brethren in the Ephesian church. That before they collide with false doctrine, before they collide with false brethren, before they collide with corruption, he prays that they will have an encounter with the dimensions of the Father of Glory in the form of the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom. Because when you begin to encounter God yourself, it becomes more difficult for someone to deceive you. People can only deceive such people that have no personal encounter with God. And so Apostle Paul is saying, before the manipulators reach this one, let us ask God to release them into the ecosystem of the spirit of wisdom and revelation that furnishes the knowledge of him. Now, he went forth to describe, to give us an experiential description of how it feels like to be under the influence of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. See, when the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, when they intersect in your life, the experience, oh my, are you here? The experience of that encounter is what he tried to describe in this scripture. He said it is like the eyes of your understanding are enlightened. Now, when we say the eyes of your understanding, we are talking about something that is beyond the scope of your intelligence. Because this description is the description of a surgery, an attempt by God to open your understanding beyond your natural capacity. Now, how many of you still remember this scripture that says there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. That's the surgery. It takes you beyond the scope of your natural understanding and brings you into a corridor that you can never come into except the Spirit of God inspires you. Are you there? Okay, you're not there. See, I would have taken you to the book of Luke, chapter 24, to show you in detail how God conducts this surgery on your heart in order for Him to bring you to the place of understanding. Now listen. Listen. Whenever you see the word knowledge in the Bible, knowledge, if you say it is information, you are not wrong. Right? Knowledge. You are looking for where you dropped your car key. You can't find it. And then your wife now comes with information. The last time she heard the sound of the car key, it was on the dining table. So that's information. Because of that information, you were able to trace and to locate the car key. Whenever you hear the word understanding, it means comprehension. You can have information about something, but you don't comprehend it. And if you don't comprehend it, it's not yours. You can't use it. You know, in the chemistry class those days, it is possible for you to know that the course we are doing now is natural product chemistry. That's information. But you see, when they begin to draw the structures, it looks like something like the handwriting of spirit. How many of you were in the chemistry class like myself? All right, it's a strange place to be. That's, in my opinion, that's one of the most difficult courses that our universities offer. Chemistry. Oh my God. Then they start with. You see, there is another economy that is available to you when you begin to comprehend it. It is when you have comprehended it adequately that you can take steps that are consistent with your comprehension. See, spiritual things are not mind-based. They are spirit-based things. And they are civilizations that are trapped in realms beyond your mind. And so even if God comes and shows you a spiritual thing, you will not be able to comprehend it. And if you cannot comprehend it, you can't use it. You can't utilize it. And that's why He speaks about both the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom. When these two streams of grace intersect upon your heart, it produces an experience of, oh! It means that the eyes of your understanding was flooded with light. You were moved from information, you were moved into comprehension. That's great power. In the realm of the spirit, until you come to the point of comprehension, you don't have access to the power of that matter. Hallelujah. You have no access. No access to the power that is in the matter until there is comprehension. Are you there? It is the Holy Spirit, it is His activity that brings us to that point of comprehension. It is only those that have arrived at the place of comprehension that can function by wisdom, because wisdom is application. If we take inventory of your life, we will know where you are operating from. Either you are operating from the earth or you are operating from the place of comprehension. This matter, the matter of the operation of the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it puts believers into two categories. Such believers that have not yet entered into the economy that this civilization brings, they are ordinary people. But if God wants to begin to help you, what He does to you is that He begins to give you such comprehension that you cannot gain just because you attended a lecture, you stumbled into a library, you sat before a professor. Comprehension. Comprehension that comes by the Spirit. It is in that locus of comprehension that we can acquire the knowledge of God. So the knowledge of God is not something that you can stumble on because you exercise your intellect. The procedure for apprehending spiritual education is coming into collision with the spirit of wisdom and what? He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. All right, there was one time some people wanted to destroy our ministry. I want to put it in a way that it will be difficult to comprehend. But some people wanted to destroy our ministry. So, they ganged up. The people are inside, though. They are inside the ministry. They ganged up that they were going to do like this, the plot like this, plot like this, plot like this. Then when I do like this, then they plot like this. Yes. Uh-huh. So while they were plotting, one of them joined himself to them so that he would hear what they are saying. Then in the night, in the midnight, he came to my house and said, there's this. So what he brought to me was information. If you are not careful, the way you will use that information will destroy you. In fact, you would have been better off if you had no information. So what you do when you get information is that put the flesh out of the matter. Don't, no. And then go to God, because what you have is information. What you need to tackle the matter is understanding. And only God, through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, can move you from the point of information. Are you there? To the point of what? So I went to God. And after praying for 2 days, this is what he said to me. Stand still, and you shall see the salvation of God. So, I pretended as if I didn't know. And then, the people plotted, and plotted against themselves. Then they began to fight themselves, Then all of them now left the ministry. You see, the wisdom, that the application, I don't want to go, there are some people in the ministry here, and I don't want them to know what I'm talking about. The way to handle such matters came from an understanding, and that understanding was spirit breath. So I was seeing what was happening like a movie. I understood it. But I pretended as if I did not know. And the person that brought the information was expecting me to do something, and he saw me doing nothing. So he couldn't. You see, when you actually find a man that is operating from the realm of comprehension, he's a mystery. You can't see what he's operating is only captured in the realm of the understanding that the Spirit of God can give. So you cannot understand him from outside. So the people fought themselves and they drove themselves away, and we continued doing the work of God. And then many years later, poverty now struck them hard. You see, I found out something about God. God does not judge quickly. And those of you that are counting on God's judgment, that God will come, you will become very old, like 90-something years before you that your. So, just find a way to be making progress. leave people to God. Find a way to be moving ahead. Don't stand there and you are calling fire. Before fire will come, you will be old. So, don't allow that matter waste your life. Push it aside. Make progress. Many years later, I thought the matter had finished. Then, that was when judgment now started. And judgment did not start until God showed evidently that he was with me. Because even what gave birth to that rebellion in the first place was that they went somewhere and the prophet told them that, God has left your master. He has left him. He has left him. So you need to look for a way to catch some of the people and then begin ministry. Alright, so that was what they were trying to do. And the great one says, stand still. And you shall see the salvation of God. So I had understanding, I had wisdom. I applied the understanding by obeying the prescription that came when the understanding was furnished. So, they took off like a tornado. And meanwhile, God did not promote us because they were there. He allowed them. And then he now brought promotion. That promotion was a sign that the prophecy was wrong. If I was in that camp, the moment I saw that promotion, I would have come to repent. I said, but what produces rebellion in a man has a potency to self-destroy the man. And many times when it has not reached that level, the man is not likely to realize. Only few do. So the Lord visited and the Lord began to do many things. Enlarge our coast. But you see, the reason why this day came was because I followed an instruction that did not make sense. May the Lord bring us to that point where we are willing to follow instructions that look foolish. But they are the products of understanding that can only yield applications of wisdom. Alright, so it says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Then he mentions three things in this scripture that you can never know except the eyes of your understanding is enlightened. The first is the hope of our calling. And the hope of our calling is the entire maze of God's eternal purpose. I don't have time to touch that now. Are you there? The entire maze of God's eternal purpose. You see, our destiny, our purposes reach back into the past before it goes into the future. I know you don't believe that, but that's what the book of Ephesians teaches. That everything that we are trying to achieve in time was already articulated in the heart of God in eternity. Are you there? So you will need to travel into eternity through the Holy Ghost to know what was written concerning you so that you can implement it in time. If you don't have a means by which you can travel into the past, travel into the heart of God, you are going to be wrong on ground. So, God is the Father of glory, is willing to open the eyes of our understanding so that we can know the hope of our calling. I don't want to dwell on that. It's very deep. How God takes you to know his heart. Because the entire fabric of the invisible and the visible realm derived from God's heart. That's the source point. That's the platform. That's the studio. And it is only through the process by which the eyes of our understanding can be enlightened that we can now see on the heart of God, the reason for which he called us. And if you do not know the reason for which he called you, you are likely to accept Satan's products when it comes for advertisement. Oh, you don't like what I'm saying. Okay, let me leave you. Let me just go to the scripture of interest. A lot of people have set out. They gave their life to Christ on the crusade ground. Made commitments to Jesus. And then after some time, begin to live in sin, dwell in immorality. The reason why they can do that is because they never had the experience of peeping into the archives of God's eternal purpose for their lives. So they don't know what to compare with, to compare and contrast with. When sin came and advertised itself, they had nothing in their storehouse with which to compare with. To know that sin is trivial and sin is just an open door that will corrupt what God has in store for me. It will be difficult for the devil to bargain with me. I've not only seen the script that contains my purpose, I've also seen my destiny after this life. I've seen it. The Lord gave me a privilege of going to heaven once and again, and He showed me where He's taking me. I've seen the glory of God. What I'm doing in time now is that I'm walking towards that glory. And that's why I'm not afraid of death. I've seen life after here. You will become very stable when God opens the eyes of your understanding. Satan will not have the right vocabulary to come sell products around your life. Because you know perfectly well the deal that you have with God and the rhythm of your steps with Him through the passage of time into the ultimate inheritance that He has for you. But if you are lacking in this understanding, you will still think that that breast that you saw, you can gain from it. There's something you can gain from it. You don't have anything to compare what Satan is advertising with. And that is the reason why your faith, your convictions are not rooted. He said, if the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, you will be able to see the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. There are riches of glory. Glory has riches. Oh my God. Oh my God. In order for God's majesty to be revealed, are you following? Because another name for glory is majesty. In order for God's majesty to be revealed, there are riches through which such majesty can be uncovered. One of such riches is grace. Grace. Grace is the name of the currency of the riches that are tabernacled in glory. If God wants to carry out a project, what He dispenses, you know, just like central bank, the country has a budget, all right? Then it's okay, the transport industry should have this amount, this allocation, the aviation industry should have this allocation, the educational sector should have this allocation. Are you there? So that they can administer the affairs of the nation. When God wants to build, what He does is that He bequeaths to us a currency called grace. In fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, where the Bible speaks about the fact that we have been blessed with spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms, that scripture is revealing the central bank of the grace of God. That is where the resources that we fund God's project upon the face of the earth are held. You are not with me. That's why the resources are held. So what God does in your own calling is that through your calling is a channel of distribution of that storehouse of value. Oh my, you didn't get that. There are riches through which God's glory can be made manifest. One of such riches is grace. The reason why I spent time to pray between the first session and the second session is so that I can wear the grace that will make me effective in this session. Because I understand that every session, every occasion that we unleash the Holy Spirit to accomplish the program of God, you first of all, you need to discern. The first session is not in any way related to the second session. If you don't have knowledge of what God wants to accomplish in the slightest, you will not know how to set your coordinates. You will miss God here. So there are supplies. There are riches He makes available. There are currencies that He makes available so that we can have the capacity to prosecute His counsel upon the face of the earth. It is when His counsel is prosecuted that people can see His majesty. And one of such riches of His glory is grace. But I don't have time to show you all the strands of riches that God puts in place, resources that He puts in place so that we can be fully funded to prosecute the counsel of God. Have you heard the scripture that says that God is able to make all grace abound so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, might abound unto every good work? Oh, you are not there. So just in case you write an examination and you failed, you had no access to grace. Just in case you do business and you fail, no grace. If there is grace, because grace is that which God releases in order for His purposes to be accomplished. It might be that you went into that business without consulting God, so He didn't feel any responsibility to make grace available. You went there because you attended London Business School, and you know the figures, you know the statistics, you know the pattern, and you say, yeah, we can make something happen. And you went there without grace and demons. Now, I saw one signboard. What's the name of? Is it Opo? We were coming, so we now saw one signboard. Opo Gap. They say Opo something town. Come again. Opo Logoso. I can't send him Okoria behind a woman. That is the name of the situation when you enter into a matter without grace. The glory of God has riches contained in it. It is when these riches are adequately deployed that the glory is unveiled. So if I am a recipient of the grace of God, if I do the things that God has empowered me by grace to do, you will see abilities manifest through my life that are not natural. If you attempt to do what I do, you now discover you are not equipped for it because you don't have the grace. The riches that will sponsor that manifestation of glory is beyond your reach. Are you there? He said that the eyes... Who is this person? Okay, you are retired. Let me. He's excited. He's touching the buttons anyhow. That's a sign of lack of grace. There's no sufficient. That's ridiculous. Hallelujah. When you see husband and wife, especially among us pastors, living in harmony, it's very difficult to be a genuine pastor. Very difficult. And then you see their wives happy. The only reason why it is like that is because there is a grace that you have found with which you have modeled a system in your home. Are you with me? In fact, God said what He has put together, let no man put asunder. He put a curse there just to preserve the marriage institution. But it's not still working. You will need grace. There are riches that can reveal His glory. Are you there? Now, so, He says, except the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, you will not be able to decode the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This inheritance, where is it? It's in the saints. The inheritance that is in the saints, there are riches in it, there are value, there's currency in it that you can use to accomplish what will unveil God's glory. Are you there? Finally, it says, except the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, you will not be able to know the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. In that scripture, we have the six words for power in Greek language are in one verse. That verse is the most technical verse in the entire Bible. That one verse. It speaks about the economy of power. Just like you need a generator to get this light point functional. You need a generator to get in electricity into this building so that the man on the keyboard can play his instrument for us to hear. You also need power to drive the Christian life. Enough power, because the flesh is seeking to master you. There must be an access to a power system that can subdue the flesh so that you can walk according to the Spirit. The life of the Christian is not natural. It runs on a certain kind of fuel. That fuel is power-based. And you will need all the dimensions of power to live the Christian life. All the dimensions. Now, I don't have time today, although it's in my script, in my diary. But it will take us 4 days to know. Are you with me? So in that place, you are going to find the word Iskus. You'll find the word Kratos. You'll find the word Dunamis. You find the word megathos. You find the word exousia. All of that in one verse. But if we had time, we would have unraveled that. Meanwhile, it is necessary for you to understand that your eyes will never, your understanding will never be open to know the economy of power that is available to us to drive our Christian lives. And when you don't know that your Christian life is adequately funded, that's the only reason why you can be deceived by the devil to accept the option of walking in the flesh. You see why Paul prayed this prayer earnestly was so that the believers could find that there was sufficiency in Christ enough that will keep them preoccupied and they will have no need to be involved with the corruption of their age. Anytime you see a man stray, it is because he was not privileged enough for the eyes of his understanding to be enlightened. Meanwhile, having said all this, there are also several factors, several issues that you cannot see except the eyes of your understanding is enlightened. As we continue with the reading, I will now take you to the verse of interest, because these are not the verses of interest. That's why I'm not settling there. I'm just showing you the progression of revelation, the discourse that the apostle had, and then we'll follow that discourse until we find the verse of interest. Next verse. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. It was the power of God that is being spoken about that was at work when Jesus was raised from the dead. It was the power of God that he's speaking about that even translated Jesus into the heavens. It is the power of God that we're speaking about that domiciled him upon the throne of his office of administration that he functions in right now. That same power. It's that same power that is available to you right now as a Christian. For the Bible says that if the spirit of him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, There are consequences that this reality brings to us. It has consequences. But if the eyes of your understanding are not enlightened, you will not be able to take advantage of the implications of the revelations that these scriptures carry. You will see them as normal things. You will not be able to come to that point where it becomes a life applicable, buoyant reality. The shortfall we see in the Christian faith in Nigeria is proof of the fact that people preach blind. People preach from a closed book. And indeed, the eyes of our understanding is not enlightened. But the days are upon us. The days are upon us where the Lord will begin to colonize us afresh. He will begin to equip us afresh. And that which makes a lie will be despised. The corruption we see will not last for long. He comes again to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Then it will be easy for us to know the difference between true and truth. It will be easy for us to know the difference between demonic and divine. It will be easy for us to know the difference between false and real. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Far above principalities and powers. That's the place where Jesus was domiciled. It is far above principalities, far above powers, far above might, far above dominion. And what concerns me is, and far above every name that is named. That's what concerns me then. I came to talk about the significance of names in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that where Jesus is domiciled, in fact, if the eyes of your understanding is not enlightened, you will not be able to decode the context in which he is domiciled. Because in that context, the Bible reveals that it is far above principalities. It's far above powers. It's far above dominion. It's far above every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, if the eyes of your understanding is not enlightened, you will not know the capacity that is invested in the name of Jesus. You will not know that. You don't know that. Is it that name? The capacity of that name. It transcends this world, this age. Oh my God. And even the age that is to come. I came to tell you tonight, the number two thing that is a gift that God gave us from heaven is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. And if we are going to unveil the glory of God, there are dimensions of glory that cannot be unveiled apart from the name of Jesus. Oh my is Avalamo Kentali. Tonight, the Lord will stretch his scepter of acceptance, his scepter of willingness. He will stretch it. He will stretch it this night. And by the power that resides in his name, he will make a statement. Not just in this venue. Yes, we thank God for what he will do in this venue. The greater thing he will do is going to be in the territory. Oh, Asilia Mocumbres Fabila Santo. Now, let me take two scriptures, then I close. Two scriptures. Philippians chapter 2. Maybe we'll make it one scripture. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning from verse 1. The guy opens the book of Philippians chapter 2 with questions. You need to tremble when a prophet comes with a question. You need to tremble when an apostle comes with a question. Because the assignment of a prophet is to bring the counsel of God in simple, plain language. Such language that avoids ambiguity, avoids misconception. So because of the nature of his service delivery, he is not given the luxury of asking questions, speaking in parables. But this is one of those scriptures where this man sounds in a strange way. He said, if there be any consolation in Christ, now, I don't know about you, but have you ever lost a loved one that is close to you before? You know that sense of loss? It happened to me last year. I know you are aware of what I'm talking about. Then you feel a sense of loss. And because God, are you there? Are you there? Stay with me. Originally, God did not intend that will be mortal. That was not his original plan. And that was why in the Garden of Eden there was a tree called the Tree of Life. That was a tree that God was expecting Adam to choose. And if he had chosen that tree, there would be no death. So God did not design your heart to be able to accommodate the reality of death, because it was not programmed into the civilization. Are you there? You get that? So, when you lose someone or something of that nature happens to you, there is a void that is created, especially if you apply your heart to it. It creates a big void. And by experience, I've seen that you can actually shield your heart, refuse to yield to the circumstance, and then you'll be shielded from that void. Because it happened to me once. And when it happened to me, Satan will take advantage of that situation to begin to speak to you, to make you feel that life has no meaning, that you should just give up, you should just die. Then, the Holy Spirit now comes. He begins to weave out an administration of consolation. So Paul is asking, have you ever experienced the consolation that is in Christ? He said, have you ever experienced the comfort of God's love? When everybody left you, everybody walked away from you because they felt you were propagating a form of idealism that no longer exists. So they say, you're all by yourself, you're a Jew. And then Jesus now shows up. He began to bathe you in the fragrance of his love. So much so that your security is now rooted in him. The seasons may change. People may leave you. Even your parents in the natural may discard you and disown you. But if you have found the comfort of love, even in the wilderness, you will know that you can never be alone. I speak of the things that I've seen. I speak of the things that I've experienced. He said, have you ever experienced fellowship in the Spirit? Have you ever experienced it? When the Holy Spirit opens up himself, he makes himself vulnerable to you. He takes you by his hand and he takes you into his own lair, his own space, and begins to uncover things. The glory that is in that moment
is such glory that words cannot explain. He said, have you experienced fellowship in the Spirit? If you have experienced any of these things that I just explained, all of these things come from Christ, an administration that is set up in the realm of the Spirit. And if you have ever experienced any of this, you are indebted to that office permanently. It is on the strength of that that he now says, let this mind. You see, he will not. Are you there? No, wait, go back. He said, have you experienced the bowels of his mercy? You messed up. I was on the pulpit preaching one day, and there was a secret between me and God. It was not supposed to be public. So I got excited and I started saying that secret. Then he left me on the pulpit. May you never be in that situation. He just walked away from me. What I did was, when I knew he had walked away, because I was born a stammerer, when he walks away like that, all the symptoms of stammering will come back. You won't want to see me in 2 minutes. So I just knelt down at the pulpit. They thought I was worshiping. When I stopped preaching, I just knelt down and I bent my head. I was not talking into the mic again. The keyboard man ran and began to play keyboard. I've gone hard. He didn't know that I was pleading. I was begging. Then tears now drop. You now saw it. Hey, he came back. It's okay. Stand up. He said, have you experienced the bowels of mercy? You will know that God's bowels, his inner being, is filled with mercy. Filled with it. Is there somebody struggling under guilt? You did something wrong, and you no longer feel you have a place in God. If you open the stomach of God, what you will find in his bowels is mercy. It's messy. And all of these streams of riches derived from his office, derived from his administration. It is that which is in his administration that he uses to patch us up when Satan seeks to find occasion, so that he can cleanse us, so that he can strengthen us from inside, so that he can make us stand where we used to stand, and indeed to go beyond where we currently are. These are the riches with which he administers such works of beautification, so that we can be carriers of his glory. And anyone that has experienced any of these things becomes indebted to his office. It is after this that he now gives us a commandment. He said, let this mind, let it be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You will notice that Christ is before Jesus, because the emphasis here is his office. Are you there? All right, next verse. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but was made himself of no reputation. He was in the form of God, did not consider his equality with God anything to hold on to, made himself of no reputation. That's one decline. Are you there? One step down. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Two steps down. And was made in the likeness of men. Three steps down. Yeah? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Four steps down. And became obedient unto death. Five steps down. Even the death of the cross. No, it's supposed to be seven. Let's start again. It's supposed to be seven. Because when you go to the book of Revelation, you will find him carrying seven horns. That's where he got. Is this step down that was responsible for his seven dimensions of authority? that he carries in the book of Revelation. Seven steps down. So that he can enter into seven steps of kingdom authority. You want to carry kingdom authority? Where is your sacrifice? Where are the things you are willing to lay down? He was in the form of God. He did not consider that estate something for him to hold tightly on. He gave up his omnipotence in order for him to become man. He gave up his omnipotence. He gave up his omniscience. He gave up his omnipresence so that he could be localized. Who does that? The Bible says that he was in the morphe of God, a structure of the divine. And if you have the structure of the divine, then you carry the complements of divinity: omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. It was that morphe, that structure, that he gave up so that he can take on the morphe of man with all his attendant limitations. He took seven steps down in order for him to qualify to satisfy the claims of divine justice. Alright, let's go on. We don't have time. Go. Go further. Wherefore, this is a consequence of seven steps down. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him. One. And given him a name which is above every name. Two. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Three. Things in heaven. Four. Things on earth. Five. Things under the earth. I've missed it again. It's supposed to be seven. He took seven steps down so that he could take seven steps of authority, forming the seven horns that was upon the head of this lamb that was slain. Do you understand it? When you go back, count it very well. I don't have time to do the counting. But what concerns me there is that the exaltation that was given to him was encapsulated in his name. Given the name, the validity of authority in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth, even in the age to come, there will be no name that has that level of vested authority in the universe of God. And the Bible reveals that this name was given among men. I'm going to stop there. The authority that God makes available to us is vested in that name. It will interest you to know, how many of you have an account with Zenith Bank? Because now, I'm not a marketer of Zenith Bank. Meanwhile, since I came to town, it's difficult to make transfer from my Zenith account. So you know that. Okay. So I'm not a marketer, but I have an account. If you take the ATM of Zenith Bank to the ATM machine, that Zenith ATM machine, it will call your name. It say, "Hello, Philip." "Hello, Samuel." I think that's the only ATM card that does that. Does it? Any other one? Zenith card. Zenith. So even if I give Sorochi my ATM card, tell him my combination lock, he goes there, he slots it in, the thing will say, "Hello, Arome." Because he recognizes you as me. When you use the name of Jesus, heaven recognizes you as. So it's not about you. It's about what is invested in the name.
Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began. You're reigning forever. Your name is ever. You are the reason for time.
Now, if you want to sing for me, don't put the mic on your mouth. Put it far. Sing into it. Alright? He gave us his name. Tonight we are going to use that name. Heaven, we honor his name tonight. In a moment of time, can you thank him for giving us his name? You reign forever. Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. Siyama hasaka bonde lihisi.
Thank you. Be doing practicals. It will be ministration. You are at liberty to bring the sick, all kinds of people possessed, blind, deaf, mad. We'll be doing all of that tomorrow evening, okay? But I'm building capacity these few days so that when I leave, there'll be something left behind for you to work with. We're going to do two things now. The first thing is that you will take that which you consider to be the most difficult thing in your life. Then you are going to address it in the name of Jesus. Watch in a few weeks from today what God will do. It is a gift from heaven. It has the capacity to unveil God's majesty. I don't know whether you have picked the item. Have you picked it? Pray about that thing in the name of Jesus. Go ahead. It is your moment.
He will bring it to pass. Of Jesus. I say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I will give a command in the name of Jesus. Then the Lord will begin to walk. Just one command. You see, the angel of the Lord came with oil and is anointing me. It means he wants to anoint some ministers. So I will come down and call the ministers that I perceive he wants to anoint. Pray with them. But that's not what I will do. Now I will pray, give a command in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Now listen. Listen. I will talk just little tomorrow evening. Little. To be for ministration or for hours. Hours. Just little. Then we'll engage. But listen. Two things I will do. I will give this command. And second thing I will do, the ministers I'm supposed to pray with, let this oil come on them. I'll pray with them. Alright? Then I will go. Then till tomorrow evening. I will be praying from morning to evening so that I will not come and talk too much. Amen? Now, what I want to attack is anyone that is in any form of bondage that is tied to witchcraft, tied to sorcery, tied to charms, tied to wickedness. I want to just attack it. Right? And I will attack it in the name of Jesus. Now, when you say amen, keep quiet. Like if I pray in the name of Jesus and say in the name of you, say amen. When you finish, say amen. Because God will now begin to attach himself to people that have such issues. And he will start acting on it. Now, ushers, what you will do for me? Because I will not talk much. That's why I'm explaining much. I want everybody delivered this night. That is the people that God will arrest. So let me see the ushers. Where are the ushers? Just raise your hand like this. No, you can't do this job. So the choir will join them. Okay? Choir, let me see your hand. For all of you laboring, tomorrow, I will recompense all of you tomorrow. By that which I have from Jesus. I will. Let no one. So what you will do, when you find them, just bring them. I want to finish the deliverance before I go. And it's not just saying I'm doing deliverance. No, I just say again, speak again in the name of Jesus. That's the deliverance. Can we pray now? And so we give you praise. We thank you for the feast of your word that you have given unto us tonight to open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Tonight, I come against manipulations that were done in darkness. Manipulations that were designed to bind your people, measure their expression, limit their outlook to destiny, frustrate their lives. We come against witchcraft. We come against sorcery. We come against divination. We come against necromancy. We come against the use of familiar spirits. Let the yoke break in the name of Jesus. Things that were buried in the ground that has tied the wombs of many people. Things that were buried in the ground that has locked up the marital destiny of others. Things that were buried in the ground. Today, I paralyze the effect in the name of Jesus. Those people whose names were taken to the priest of the altar of the water goddess, such as were dedicated to her service in childhood, people whose lot were casted with the spirits of the water tonight. In the name of Jesus, I destroy your power. Those that were taken to the waterside for ceremonial cleansings, those that were given strange things to eat, those that were given incisions on their body while they were young, and they were tied to the spirits of the wilderness and the spirits of the forest. I destroy the power of darkness over you in the name of Jesus. Those that their underwears were taken, the hair of their head was cut off, their fingernails were taken, their clothing were taken as points of contact to demons of darkness, spirits of the underworld. I set them at liberty in the name of Jesus. Those that spirits come to have sex with in the dream, they have been reduced to sex objects. Every night, harassment of all kinds, I destroy that power tonight in the name of Jesus. Those that have been tied down, they cannot get employment. They cannot get admission. Nothing good comes out of their lives. Their destiny is shut down. Tonight I come. In the name of Jesus, let the yoke break. Those that have been bound through the avenue of their umbilical cords and their lives are being manipulated, I destroy that sorcery in the name of Jesus.
So now, let that yoke break. Let it 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 break. In the name of Jesus. Those that have been cursed in their hands, such that anything they lay their hands upon to do will begin to decline. It will not prosper. Today, I come to reverse that decree of the devil. I reverse that decree. I reverse it. I break the yoke on your hands. In the name of Jesus. Those that were molested when they were very young, and a door was opened to the devil to begin to exploit their lives. Today, I close that door in the name of Jesus. Those that come from families that worship the demons of the forest, the powers of the graveyard, the spirits of the water, and you were dedicated to it. Your name was called upon the altar. The spirits of that order of priesthood were invoked upon you, invoked upon your name. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, I destroy the stranglehold of the devil in Jesus' mighty name. Those that serpents follow. Anytime you have a dream, you see snakes, constrictors, boas, rattlesnakes, cobras, anacondas, pythons, vipers. Tonight, I come against you. I come against your powers. I come against your sorcery. I come against your charms. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus! Let the things that were buried be uprooted. Let judgment come upon that priest that accepted your name in his shrine. Let fire consume that shrine. In the name of Jesus!
When you are there, 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 when you are there. When you are there, when you are there,
when you are there.
When you are there, when you are there, when you are there.
If I say in the name of Jesus, you say a big amen. We'll do it for 7 times. Things will begin to come out from the ground. They'll be uprooted. In the name of Jesus. I see a certain family here. A member of your family is lost. Is lost. You've not seen him for many years. Wave to me like this. A member of your family is lost. All right, so we want to call him back now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we call them back tonight in Jesus' name. Let me give you some information. One of the people you thought have died is in Benin Republic, and he's going to come from Benin Republic, come back to Warri. In the name of Jesus! The spirit that is responsible for things getting missing around your life. Things getting missing. Things getting missing. In the name of Jesus, I break the yoke tonight. In 3 days time, the evil person in your family that is in charge of all of this manipulation will be cut off. You. Let it be uprooted in the name of Jesus. The power of darkness is destroyed in the name of Jesus. Before we do that, if you are okay, come. Come. So there's going to be an increase in your ministry. Come. Come. Increase him. Increase his authority.
Increase him. Increase his authority. Surprise her. Surprise her. Surprise her. In the name of Jesus. Can you stretch your hands in the direction of these ones out here? We'll pray for 1 minute and destroy all the powers that hold them down. And if these powers still influence their siblings anywhere they may be under the sun, shut it down. We shut you down. Yeah, we shut you down. I beheld a lady, and the Lord will help me find that lady. There is a yoke upon you that needs to break. All I ask from you outside, raise your right hand up, just your right hand. Don't talk, don't make noise. In In order for you to be receptive, you need to pray. The ones that I'm looking for, God will arrest them. Father, in the name of Jesus, stretch forth your hand. Help me arrest those ones. You don't need to answer. No need for amen. I will tell you when his hands are stretched forth. Okay, he's coming. He's coming now. Help me find those individuals standing in their midst. Help me find them. Help me find them. Help me find them. Help me find them. Find them. Find them. Find them. Find them. Find them.
Holy Ghost! Move!
Because tonight the yoke will break. Ushers, help me find them. Let the yoke break. 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 In the name of Jesus. Let it break. Help me find them. I've not seen the lady yet. So I summon the fire of God from heaven. Locate that lady. Locate that lady. I remove that deposit in your face. Let her go. Lose her. Demand from you. Go. Let me touch her. Go. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Raise your head. Not seen the lady yet. Because the angel is still touching me. In the name of Jesus. Let the flame, let the fire, let the flame, let the fire come upon that lid, come upon that lid, come upon that lid, come upon. The yoke breaks. The name of Jesus.
Yeah.
The breaks. Yeah, loose. The dog breaks. The dog breaks. It breaks. The yoke breaks. The yoke breaks. It breaks. It breaks. Come. Come. You fair one. Fair lady. let your mighty hand accompany them home.